This is Leo Babeu for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. With Election Day about a week away, we've asked the candidates for Minnesota's 8th Congressional District seat to respond to the same set of questions in hopes that we can bring listeners something of an apples-to-apples comparison of their qualifications and their views on the issues that may be on the minds of voters in northern Minnesota. KTWH has reached Jen Schultz, who's running for Congress as the Democratic former Labor Party candidate, and KTWH will also present questions and answers from incumbent Pete Stauber should he agree to appear. We'll just let the candidates speak for themselves for up to 20 minutes on four groups of questions, and we'll leave it to listeners to consider how those answers address your concerns and values. So welcome to the KTWH airwaves, Jen Schultz.
Well, thank you for having me today, Leo. Really appreciate it.
And we, too, are grateful that you've taken time out of campaigning, this being a Halloween campaign day, to visit with listeners on KTWH Community Radio. So let's dive into the questions, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Public office is hardly the easiest way to contribute to society. Jen Schultz, could you summarize some of your background, share what your public office titles in terms of service have been, and can you please share your motivations for running for office and what this experience is like for you?
Yes. So I've been a state legislator for the past 8 years, representing the east half of the city of Duluth in the Minnesota House. And concurrently, I'm a Great Lakes commissioner, and I've been doing that for 8 years. And as a Great Lakes commissioner, my job is to protect and to promote the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes watershed. So I've been working with the eight Great Lakes states and the two Canadian provinces, because the St. Lawrence River is included in this coalition, doing just that. And then as a state legislator for 8 years, I've been working on all types of issues. I chair Human Services, Finance, and Policy. And there I've been able to pass historic investments in behavioral health, drug addiction, public safety, homelessness, protections for older adults, protections and services for people with disabilities. And I also serve on the Taxes Committee, the powerful House Ways and Means Committee, which is the Finance Committee. All the bills that spend any money have to go through the Ways and Means before they come to the floor of the House. I served on the Redistricting Committee, and I also serve on Health Finance and Policy. And then being a state legislator in Minnesota is a part-time job. My full-time job, when I'm not in session, is I'm a professor of economics at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and I've been at UMD since 2004. And running for the Minnesota House was my first office that I ran for. It was an elected position. And I ran for office initially 8 years ago because I was concerned about health care reform and making sure everyone had access to high-quality, affordable health care. And then the other concern, as a professor, I was very concerned with the high cost of education and even the struggles that the public schools were going through in our community and other communities, because the state has really not invested in our schools over the last few years. So those are the reasons why I ran for office. And then I served 8 years. I was ready to retire from the state legislature, write my book on healthcare reform, go back to teaching. I'm also married. My husband's a criminologist at UMD, and we have two sons who are 14 and 12. Go back to my full-time life of being an academic, but nobody would run for Congress. We had a lot of people. I asked a lot of people to run because my opponent, Pete Stauber, really was doing not his job. He was sort of hiding from constituents, not showing up, not having public town halls, not being a good U.S. representative for the district, and he was voting against legislation that was desperately needed across the district. And I wanted to give people a choice, a better choice this fall in the election. And so a lot of people asked me to run. A group of farmers asked me to run. I wasn't ready yet. I said no to that group, and then a lot more people asked me to run. I think there was a petition drive. But it wasn't on my bucket list to run for Congress, but I know how important it is to have good representation. And I was concerned, as an economist, really concerned that we were giving up a lot of federal investment dollars into the 8th district, dollars that are desperately needed to diversify our jobs, bring back manufacturing to the 8th district, because Stauber was really unwilling to work with the current administration to get things done, not willing to compromise, not willing to give the current administration credit. So he just refused to do anything. And we see that as we're campaigning, is that he has zero solutions for the problems that people are facing across the eighth. And he's accomplished absolutely nothing in his two terms in Congress. He has not passed one bill that he's sponsored, and he's voting no on things like affordable insulin, lower prescription drugs, lower health insurance costs. He voted against an infrastructure bill that was a $1.2 trillion bipartisan package, which brought $7 billion to Minnesota, 100,000 jobs. And part of that package was for our port or airports, roads and bridges, and high-speed internet, which is really needed across the district. And then he voted against the Inflation Reduction Act, and that was money to lower healthcare costs, money to provide incentives to use domestic minerals and to bring back domestic manufacturing to the United States and to Minnesota. But things that I think everyone agrees we need, I mean, infant formula shortages, he voted against that. And then he voted twice against veterans for coverage for those veterans exposed to burn pits and other toxic substances. And veterans are very, very upset. So he needs to retire. I'm working very hard to learn about what the needs are across the district. I put on over 30,000 miles onto my vehicle going around the district, which is about a third of the state. It's a really large district now, got larger after redistricting. And I'm meeting with everybody. I'm in every community. I don't care how red or how conservative they voted in the past. I show up. I've been all the way up to Lake of the Woods and Baudette, been at the International Falls, I think six times now. And the largest city, of course, is Duluth in the 8th. The second largest city is Forest Lake. And then the third largest city is Hugo. So we have Forest Lake and Hugo that have never been in the 8th district before. They're now included. And so I'm spending a lot of time in those new parts of the southern part of the district as well. But there's a lot of needs, a lot of diverse types of needs. We also have seven of the tribes in Minnesota are now in the 8th district. So all tribes north of the Twin Cities. And I've been meeting with all of our tribal council members and tribal members to find out what their needs are. And close to Two Harbors, Grand Portage, I've been up to Grand Portage. They need things like a wastewater treatment facility, but other tribal members need infrastructure funds and healthy grocery stores and access to good health care. And access to health care and long-term care is desperately needed throughout the district. So there's a lot of bread and butter issues I want to work on in Congress. I'm excited about the race. A lot of people have written off this district in this race, but I think it's going to be a close race. I feel we have a lot of momentum and support, and Stauber has a very high unfavorability rating right now.
We're speaking today with Jen Schultz, the candidate from the DFL party for the 8th Congressional District of Minnesota. State Representative Schultz, you hit on a number of these points, but I offer to you the question, what is the biggest challenge or set of challenges facing the United States? And what are big and small ways in which you intend to be part of the solution?
Well, I think one of our biggest challenges right now is that we've become so polarized as a country and so partisan. And for the last 8 years, I've only served in the divided legislature, and I've been able to be very successful working across the aisle with all parties to get things done. Because what people really want, what I'm hearing, is they're tired of the disinformation and partisan rhetoric. They just want their elected officials to deliver results. And I've done that for 8 years. I have a track record of getting a lot done. And if you've just driven through Duluth recently, you see a new hospital going up. I was involved in getting the funding for that. You see a lot, big can of worms, the highway reconstruction. I helped to leverage money for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funds to clean up the St. Lawrence River. I passed historic legislation to fix what's called the family glitch in the Affordable Care Act. Minnesota's the first state to fix the definition of affordability. I also helped pass a historic legislation bringing a lot of different stakeholders to the table to license assisted living facilities, because Minnesota was the only state that didn't license these types of facilities. And there was a lot of mistreatment going on at some of these facilities in Minnesota. So I work across the aisle. That's what people want. They just want us to get stuff done. They want the truth. They don't want lies. And so we got to fix the polarization. We have to strengthen our democracy. We need to strengthen our rights, right to reproductive health, our right to contraception, our right to vote. And we need to get dark money out of campaigns. I am not taking any corporate PAC money. All of the funds we're raising are mostly from Minnesotans and people in the 8th District. It's pretty amazing the amount of support we have. That's definitely grassroots. And not taking money from corporate interests means, you know, I'm going to be accountable to the people like I have for the last 8 years. Unfortunately, my opponent is bought by corporate interests. A lot of his money comes from out-of-state consultants. A lot of corporate interests are funding his campaign. And when that happens, he's going to have to take votes for those corporations and not for what's in the best interest of his constituents. But there's a lot of issues. People in Congress work on everything, and there are a lot of needs in our district, and I'm excited to do that. But primarily, we need to fix some of those core foundational issues to strengthen our democracy and our rights, and then work on the economic issues. People are experiencing economic hardships right now across the district, and I'm always have been a fighter for working families, and we'll do that by going after the big corporations that are earning record profits. And Stauber voted against a price gouging bill for big oil companies. They're highly profitable right now. Exxon just came out. They're getting over $20 billion, the three large oil companies, in profit right now, record profits, and that's on the backs of working families. So we need to fix that problem too.
Folks, you're listening to our question and answer forum on KTWH with the DFL 8th Congressional District candidate, Jen Schultz. And Jen, can you share an example of a time when your values required certain actions or interactions on your part, even though it might have meant sacrificing political gain or clout?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a typical politician. I call myself a reluctant politician because it was never on my bucket list to ever run for office. But it's been very rewarding the last 8 years. And I will say that I don't regret any votes I've ever taken in my 8-year career in the Minnesota House of Representatives. I vote the values of the people I represent, and I will continue to do that in Congress. I vote against my own party, the DFL party, and I have in the past. And here's one example. Both sides, Republicans and Democrats, wanted to subsidize private health insurance companies in Minnesota by writing them a $1 billion check in the hopes that they would lower health insurance premiums on the individual market. Well, I'm not a big fan of that. I wanted the money to subsidize directly consumers who bought the health insurance or have guarantees that premiums would go lower. So I was very vocal. I was on the conference committee to get the compromise, a bill that the Republican-controlled Senate and the DFL-controlled House would agree on, and I voted no on that bill coming out of conference committee, and I probably gave the best floor speech of my life talking about why reinsurance is a bad idea for consumers and how we funded reinsurance was a bad idea. And, you know, I partnered with the New Republicans, which are even more far right than our moderate Republicans on speaking up against reinsurance. So I, you know, like I said, I work with people from all parties, and here's an example of where I'm going against my, taking votes against my own party because I'm putting the people first, and I will continue to put the people first and vote the values of the people in my district. And I have made it my goal to represent everyone. I don't care how people voted in the past, if they voted, which party they voted for, if they voted for Trump. I am talking to a lot of people who had voted for Trump in the past and really like what I say, really like my track record of getting things done. And I'm reaching out to everyone. I showed up in a small community a few weeks ago. They were having a festival. I had just been at several events in the southern part of the district and told my staff I'd like to stop at this small community and just talk to the people. And they were having a gathering at their community center. They had a local band playing. They had beer. And I went to every table and talked to people. And a lot of the folks I talked to were very conservative, voted for Trump. But one guy wanted to dance with me. One guy wanted to buy me a beer. And one guy said he was going to definitely vote for me. So I really connected with people because I know what it's like to struggle. My mother raised me and my sister after she got divorced from my father. You know, he returned from Vietnam and unfortunately became addicted to alcohol. And she raised us and we struggled. We were poor. I remember that. And I was also very struggled when I put myself through college. I had two jobs often and had to pay my way. Luckily, I had some government assistance through student loans and grants. But I know what families are going through, and I know how important it is to have advocates that are fighting for you in the political arena to make sure that people have opportunities to succeed and that they can have opportunities so they can find good jobs, raise a family in the 8th District, buy a house, see their grandchildren. We need to bring more people back to the 8th District, and I'm starting to see that happen, but I really want to work on that issue. And to do that, we need good jobs, we need housing, we need affordable and accessible childcare and health care. And I know a lot about a lot of those issues because I've worked on them for 8 years, and I'm excited to do that. But like I said, I've never regretted one vote that I've taken in the last 8 years, and I'm proud to fight for the people.
We're speaking today with Jen Schultz, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. Jen, we're going to throw at you a thorny issue for northeastern Minnesota that's been polarizing, but we want to hear how you approach the longstanding debate between those who are prioritizing and valuing the potential economic benefits of mining copper and sulfide-bearing ore bodies and those who caution that the environmental risks appear to outweigh the economic benefits. Hear a little bit about how you see the two sides of the issue and how do you propose to bring people together moving forward?
Yeah, so you know what I'm known for is solving problems at the Capitol and getting things done, and I'm going to do that with mining. It's like a 2 or 3 page statement on my website now that people can go look at my ideas for how we move forward with mining. And I got ahead of this issue. You probably won't see most politicians even want to talk about this issue. They try to pivot, but I like to educate people and I want to solve the problem because we have a long history of doing iron ore mining. And I'm 100% supportive of our miners and our mining industry. I'm endorsed by the steel workers. I'm endorsed by the electricians. I'm endorsed by almost every labor union and group. And I have 100% AFL-CIO voting record. But when it comes to mining, everyone, I visited all the mines. I visited Polymet, Talon, Twin Metals. And I've visited pro-mining, anti-mining, environmental groups. I'm talking to everybody about the issue and speaking to a lot of scientists that don't have any vested interest in mining to learn about what's happening in the research and development side. But what I've learned is no one wants to pollute our water. And so we have to start from there. We all agree that where we do mining, we can't pollute the water. So you have to solve that problem. You have to bring everyone together, including the tribes, because if you don't, it gets litigated, the permitting process gets slowed down, and it may never happen if you can't bring everyone together. And there are a lot of stakeholders. And right now, it's been a very divisive issue, and I think Republicans use it to their advantage, and we have to just solve the problem. And what I learned from NRRI is a research institute affiliated with UMD, NRRI, and they actually have 4 different technologies to address the contaminants from the wastewater rock, the sulfuric acid runoff. And they tested it in Aurora on their wastewater. And what they need federal dollars to scale that technology up. And what Stauber hasn't done is he hasn't brought any federal investment to the research and development to scale up those technologies. And we need to do that first to see what we can do with that technology that they have available to take out the sulfur from the runoff when that waste rock is exposed to water. And then we just need to move together. We should be working on friendly neighbor agreements like they have in Montana. And we should be investing in the technology so we don't pollute the water, because everyone, I think, is learning how valuable clean water is, drinking water. And I've meeting people who are moving up from the south because we have so much fresh water and natural beauty and We need to make sure we're diversifying our economy because we see we have mines idling right now. We have a contract that's not being settled by U.S. Steel. Those miners need other opportunities just for leverage so they can settle their contract and get the get what they're demanding in higher wages and benefits and better work schedules. But I'm eager to work on that. I'm working on right now learning about what's called an iron air battery, and this is a utility storage battery for solar and wind. And I would love to bring that manufacturing to the range because it depends on iron ore. And it's part of our, you know, clean energy transition that we need to make. So I see a lot of potential as I drive around the district to bring back our rural small communities, interests of people wanting to retire in the 8th District. And I want to make sure that we can attract young people as well and working families as well.
Well, there are a lot more follow-ups that I might provide you, but we've agreed to keep it to 4 questions today. And thank you so much for your answers to those questions. And we thank you for joining us today to discuss your vision for serving in Congress for the 8th District of Minnesota. We certainly appreciate your time and wish you good luck in all the future efforts to serve people in whatever capacity you take on. And we appreciate your time in public service. Jen Schultz, thanks for being with us today on KTWH.
Thank you so much, and thanks to all your listeners as well. Have a great day.
You too. Take care now. The 2022 election campaign culminates on Election Day, Tuesday, November 8th. Everybody, please exercise your franchise, your right to vote, to make your voice heard, make your vote count. This is Leo for KTWH.